It's Friday!
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 22nd day of July, 2022. This is the Horn, headon.live is where you find us on the interweb tubes. That's, of course, where you go to help us keep this program on the air. There's a PayPal button right on the front page, the home page. And that's all. There's also a tab called Chat Room. And if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is the Horn Chat Room in the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between in the great globe round. Well, just pick yourself out a screen name and a password and pop right in. Well, doggone it, you will be greeted immediately by early arrivers to the chat room. Well, not that early anymore because I'm late. I'll explain in a minute. By early arrivers, Anatole and Briar and Kid Mark and Matt in San Francisco and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Theo. Thank you all for popping by, and you probably popped by because you were wondering, hey, where the hell's Robin? Well, she's right here, and she's late because I had to go on a honeydew. I had plenty of time. I had plenty of time before to get there and back again. But there I stood at the deli counter in the Wiggling Pig while somebody who ain't from around here wanted to know every last thing about pre-ordering fried chicken from the deli. Do you sell it by the pound? Don't you sell it by the pound? Why don't you sell it by the pound? You sell it by the piece? How many pieces? Do you do anything but fried? Do I get sides with that? And I was just sitting there wanting to get a couple of pieces of fried fish. And well, anyway, I came boogieing back home, but I was obviously late getting here, 13 minutes late getting on the air. I apologize sincerely and completely and totally. And I just, the good Christian lady was absolutely oblivious to the line of people forming up and going all the way down the frozen food aisle while she continued to ask the great existential questions regarding fried chicken in Fayette County. And meanwhile, there was this huge mound of fried. I was like, get the fish, just get the fish. Jesus. Oh, well, but so that's why I was late. I apologize. I guess we all watched, or most of us did, I presume, the J6 committee last night. This is the, correct me if I'm wrong, and we'll get into it here a little bit more in a few minutes, but is this the first insurrection that comes with a blooper reel? Because it kind of feels like it is. Oh, my.
Yesterday is a hard word for me.
He didn't want to make that video calling out his supporters. He was so upset. Oh, God, if we had a judicial system in this country, or law enforcement system for people who, you know, foment insurrections. He'd be in a holding cell awaiting his prosecution. Nonetheless, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. Thank you so much to Cecilia, and thank you as well to Colin. Thank you, Colin. Thank you to Felicia in San Diego. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. Let's see. Where? Yeah, there. Okay. So we are at $945 for a fundraising goal this evening. $945, so that means Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, and $45 a Tuesday. And we're back to that whole thing where we're constantly behind. But fingers crossed, we will we'll knock some of that down so that I can actually, you know, be a little bit less stressed. It would be wonderful, at least, if we could. If you want to help out, like I said, the PayPal button's at headon.live. And under the Contribute tab, if you'd like to be a Patreon subscriber, gosh, that would be wonderful, too. And so, Emilio wants to know, wait, is the meat slicer electric or nuclear? What brand is it? Do you trust it? Is it your favorite? Stop being so darn late, Robin. This kind of stuff doesn't happen in the Piggly Wiggly. Oh, yes, it does. Don't you even. But, got here quick as I could. And, by the way, the reason the podcast for yesterday is not up yet is simply because I had a bunch of... Well, I mentioned last night I couldn't roll any audio or anything because the fab machine had frozen up on me. And restarting the machine was not a hell of a lot of fun yesterday evening. So I will upload yesterday's program now that I've got everything running again. I'll upload yesterday's program before I upload this evening's program, and then we should be just fine. At least one hopes. You know, hopes. Oh, did I do the Hi, I'm Robin part? Because I am. It was a beautiful day today, finally. Got some sunny skies, some hot weather, naturally. Did I take off and go to the lake? No. But at least it was a pretty day. Cherish those, you know. This was probably the prettiest day of 2022 thus far. And it won't be too much longer before we can't say that anymore. Because the days will start getting crummier. Yeah, I know. I'm annoying that way. Such a little pessimista. But, well, by the way, this is Friday on the front porch. And so that means here in about, 40 minutes or so, we will go over the river and through the trees to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves around, and in which we keep the extraordinary ordinary round table, and gather around it for our week-ending free-for-all conversation every week. Now, stuff. Oh, and program note, just might as well start reminding and keep reminding. Next week we will have our Friday on the front porch on Thursday. We'll have a side porch Thursday. That's the 28th. I will be gone the 29th, and I will be gone probably. Yeah, it's a certainty. I won't be here Monday because I have my 9-month post-op checkup down near Nash Vegas, and I'm gonna take a little time to go and put some flowers on my parents' grave and listen to some R&B and blues, whatnot, and enjoy some free live music. And then I will head home immediately after my doctor's appointment is over, and we'll be back on the air for Tuesday. So we do. That's the only interruptions in the schedule that I can see in the immediate future. Cross your fingers. Please make a note of it. Before we start talking about what went down last night, this is a busy day. I was kind of amazed when the notification came across that Steve Bannon had been found guilty. They wrapped up the trial, and the jury deliberated for all of 3 hours and came back and said, guilty of contempt of Congress. His pettifogger sounded positively consternated as he decried the Justice Department and the prosecution of his poor, poor, innocent, rancid, hot dog water smelling client. And of course, a little while back, back in November, when they released him from custody after he was charged formally with contempt of Congress, Racist Bannon, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, boldly predicted, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be the misdemeanor from hell for Merrick Garland, Nancy Pelosi, and Joe Biden. We're going on the offense. We're tired of playing defense. We're going to the offense on this, and stand by. Curiously, the United States Attorney's Office put on its case in chief, called a couple of witnesses, arrested, and then the guy who said, we're tired of playing defense, we're going on the offense on this, and stand by, offered no defense or offense. They offered nothing. I mean, that's some top, I mean, it's a strategical decision, but he just sat there looking guilty. And he will be sentenced in what, October? Hopefully, he will get some jail time out of it, because Nitwit Nero isn't here this time to pardon his skeevy, sleazy ass. And, of course, a reporter was waiting for him outside the courthouse and said, this didn't seem like the misdemeanor from hell, Mr. Bannon. What happened? but he had lots of sound and fury signifying nothing. And as his pettifoggers did at least offer up a closing argument. Oh, and that, by the way, I heard that as the trial was beginning. And I don't know why reporters do this. I hear this mistake made more often than I hear anyone getting it right. Namely, lawyers offered up their opening arguments today. No. No, no, no. No. What happens at the beginning of the trial is the opening statement. And no, they do not mean the same thing. One is not supposed to argue in the opening statement because nothing has been introduced at trial. There's nothing to argue. It is a statement of the facts as you understand them. So maybe just kind of jot that down, tuck it away, whatever. When you hear some member of the multimillionaire for-profit media talking about a trial and saying that
The lawyers will offer up their opening arguments. You too can say, "Ha! I know more about trial procedure than you do, multimillionaire for-profit media reporter." There are no opening arguments in trials. There are opening statements and closing arguments. And I mentioned that ancillary to another thing that happened during the trial. In those two, you know, in the trial on the two counts of contempt of Congress, his pettifoggers stepped up to make their closing arguments, and Kyle Cheney over at Politico said the arguments were truly remarkable, because it's generally taken as a rule of courtesy that one does not interrupt one's opponent's closing argument unless the opponent is really, really outside the bounds of anything even remotely interpretable as permissible within the rules. And so it was that in Bannon's pettifoggers' closing arguments, the prosecution objected during the closing four times. Objecting once is a big deal. Among other things, the pettifogger, and you know the rules, when you have the facts pound on the rules for lawyers, when you have the facts pound on the facts, and when you have the law pound on the law, and when you have neither pound on the table. Well, the closing argument was a lot of table pounding. Among other, his pettifoggers tried to say that Representative Benny Thompson, the chair of the J6 committee, didn't put a valid signature on the subpoena because they said the subpoena that Bannon got was sloppier, the signature was sloppier than the signature on other subpoenas. And that drew an objection, and the judge said, sustained. And they continuously referred to the prosecution as political, it's political. That got an objection. And when his lawyer said that, the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, patted him on the back. So now it remains to be seen what the sentence will be. He's facing 30 days to a year in the federal joint. And given the egregiousness of his conduct, one would hope for the whole year. But you have to remember that Judge Carl Nichols is a maggot appointee and might just give him a slap on the wrist, or, I don't know, maybe a gift card to Denny's. But that's that was today's good news. But last night was a humdinger, was it not? What does it mean when when Liz Cheney said, "Doors have opened, new subpoenas have been issued, and the dam has begun to break." Doesn't that sound like it's only going to get worse? God, I hope so. It was what it was cooked up to be. But I guess it may very well be the final hearing for the summer. The committee continues to work, but they'll go on their August recess, and you know, the Congress will, and we will have to wait until, what, I guess after the Labor Day holiday for them to come back to work. Yeah, that's some real tote that barge, lift that bale kind of. Well. But we can talk about that later on. It does appear there will be at least three more hearings at some point in time. And you wonder just how much worse it's going to get. It was a rough night for fresh-faced young legal eagle Senator Josh Hawley. I wonder how Mrs. Hawley of the Alliance Defending Freedom felt about her heroic husband. You know, Josh Hawley was pumping his fist in the air before the crowd surged into the Capitol, waving, "Y'all, come on now, let's overturn the government, let's over." But not long after, there was film footage of Josh Hawley running like a man with the trots, trying to get to the restroom in time, and feeling like he was in a losing battle. So manly of him. And Representative Elaine Luria of Virginia said, "While the vice president was being evacuated from the Senate, President Trump called Tommy Tuberville, Tommy the potato farm, Tommy potato farm, Tommy the tuber, candidate for stupidest man in the, stupidest person, I'm sorry, in the entire United States Senate." He's of course up against stiff competition from Ron Johnson from Wisconsin and of course Marsha 3X Blackburn.
What is a woman?
Yeah. And Elaine Luria went on to sort of bury the hat. Countersink the nail. Mr. Josh Hawley also had to flee. Earlier that afternoon, before the joint session started, he walked across the east side of the Capitol. As you can see in this photo, he raised his fist with the protesters already amassing at the gate. We spoke with a security officer who was already out at the time. She told us that Senator Hawley's gesture riled up the crowd, and it bothered her greatly because he was doing it in a safe space protected by the officers and the barrier. Later that day, Senator Hawley fled after those protesters he helped to rile up the storm, rile up to storm the Capitol. It was a beautiful moment.
To always represent the administration to the best of my ability, and to showcase the good things that he had done for the country. I remember
this
feeling
is audio of Cassidy Hutchinson.
Frustrated, disappointed, and really, it felt personal. It was really sad. As an American, I was disgusted. It was unpatriotic. It was un-American. We were watching the Capitol building get defaced over a lie.
As you will see, at 2:26, the vice president had to be evacuated to safety a second time and came within 40 feet of the rioters. The attack escalated quickly right after the tweet. During this chaos, what did President Trump do at that point? He went back to calling senators to try to further delay the electoral count. While the vice president was being evacuated from the Senate, President Trump called Senator Tommy Tuberville, one of his strongest supporters in the Senate. As Senator Tuberville later recalled, he had to end the call so that he could evacuate the Senate chamber himself. Let's listen.
He called, didn't call my phone, called somebody else, and they handed it to me. And I basically told him, I said, Mr. President, we're not doing much work here right now because they just took our vice president out. And matter of fact, I'm going to have to hang up on you. I've got to leave.
Senator Josh Hawley also had to flee. Earlier that afternoon, before the joint session started, he walked across the east front of the Capitol. As you can see in this photo, he raised his fist in solidarity with the protesters
y'all have seen the
at
photo
the security gates.
I'll just note that he looks like such a butch little neo-maxi zoom dweeby. Flavio pointing out, I love the Josh Hawley hauling ass memes, the several and inventive soundtracks from Chariots of Fire to the Benny Hill theme. Oh, I know. It's been delightful all day long. And Flavio tells me that Missouri Democrats are already holding 5K Hall and Hawley run to raise money. Oh, I hope it doesn't humiliate him too little.
We spoke with a Capitol Police officer who was out there at the time. She told us that Senator Hawley's gesture riled up the crowd, and it bothered her greatly because he was doing it in a safe space, protected by the officers and the barriers. Later that day, Senator Hawley fled after those protesters he helped to rile up stormed the Capitol. See for yourself.
And the best part is, they didn't just play it once and go on. They came back and played it in slow-mo. And he's even got a mask on.
Think about what we've seen. Undeniable violence at the Capitol. The vice president being evacuated to safety by the Secret Service. Senators running through the hallways of the Senate to get away from the mob. As the commander-in-chief, President Trump was oath and duty bound to protect the Capitol. His senior staff understood that.
Do you believe, Jared, that the president has an obligation to ensure a peaceful transfer of power?
Yes.
And do you think the president has an obligation to defend all three branches of our government?
Maybe. And Ron in Raleigh says, Tommy the Tuber is on his knobby knees every night beseeching his Lord and Savior to please get Herschel Walker elected so that he'll only be the second stupidest man person in the Senate. I call him High-Steppin' Hawley, by the way. High-Steppin' Hawley. Oh, that's precious. Steve in New York pointing out, oh, bless Josh Hawley's little heart. He can't help it. God love him. I think they speak that form of the language out in Missouri, too, don't they? What a... Yeah, that's Mrs. Hawley's husband. Mrs. Hawley, the executive for the Alliance Defending Freedom, who thinks that an ectopic pregnancy's abortion isn't an abortion. Well, now they just want to call it that. Oh, honey. Poor baby. And, of course, the My Filthy Morning Habit was a real delight today. I mean, I got to say that it's a beautiful thing when you watch people who took an active role in giving out millions upon millions of dollars to free campaign advertising. It's really precious when they finally see the light go on and recognize, well, they won't recognize what the harm they did, but you get the idea. Yeah, tell them about it, Joe.
And we found out later, Mika, of course, what he couldn't have known that day in that moment, that they were 2 to 3 minutes away from being trapped and possibly being in, confronting these rioters. This mob, this angry mob that Donald Trump and Josh Hawley whipped into a frenzy, and this mob that wanted to hang Mike Pence. So that's one of the things that we found is things were for far more dangerous for Mike Pence than originally thought, even when we knew that the guy was close to being captured by the mob. And again, to underline this, Donald Trump, when he knew Mike Pence and Mike Pence's wife and Mike Pence's family, when he knew they were in danger, that's when he sent out a tweet attacking him mm-hmm. to whip the mob into a greater frenzy. Of course, that's when Pottinger and so many others, Matthews and so many others, decided to quit at that moment because they understood the danger that Donald Trump had put him in. And what was that sociopath's final words that day? Mike Pence let me down. He's just a heinous human being.
Just watching the Secret
Service. He's just a heinous human being. And by the way, there are people all around him who have had extraordinarily horrible judgment, who enabled him through Charlottesville, who enabled him through everything. And these people were calling, begging him to stop. His family members were begging him to stop. Fox News hosts were calling, begging him to stop. His children were begging him to stop. Everybody around him was begging him to stop. And he was the sociopath that stood above the crowd. He was even more vile and more repugnant than everybody else around him, and wanted his vice president to die. Said his vice president deserved dying. My God, I mean, you listen to this testimony, and you wonder. I'm not criticizing Merrick Garland. I want to be very clear. Ben Wittes, I'm not criticizing Merrick Garland, be very clear. But you wonder how this guy is not already in jail. It's staggering.
Public servants, public servants protecting the Capitol, Secret Service cops with no president, with the president on the side of the attackers. That is wrenching.
Yeah, and Mika, you had Mike Pence, according to the testimony of Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, calling and having to call to get support, said send in the military now, said he was very firm, very direct, and needed it. And then you had Mitch McConnell calling him, too, calling the acting Secretary of Defense, saying, get down, you know, clean this up. We're not going to let them stop this vote. Clean it up and tell us when we can go back and start voting again. So you have the vice president, you have Mitch McConnell, and then you have the other Republican, Donald Trump, who won't do a thing.
You know, hearing all of that, it's kind of like watching the miracle worker. You know, that heartrending scene where after you've gone through the whole play with Annie Sullivan trying to open up the world for little Helen Keller, repeatedly taking her out to the pump and pumping water onto her hand and spelling W-A-T-E-R into her hand until finally in that climactic scene she says, water. Helen says, water. Well, I felt a little like that watching that clip earlier today. All these years, you know, since before 2017, since the campaign, talking about what a gross and corrupt and disgusting, repulsive, revolting, miserable, misanthropic, misogynistic shitbird of a pathetic attempt of a human being Donald Trump is. And finally, mark your calendars on the 22nd day of July, 2022. Joe Scarborough, finally, having had the water pumped on his hand for oh so many years, uttered the word water. Or in this case, why is he not in jail? And the but you know, I don't want to be unfair. The best part of him saying that is that we know for a fact that Nitwit Nero hate watches Morning Joe. And he must have been fairly seething. Anybody around him who had listened to...
Did I ever tell you about the time that Mika was bleeding badly from the face and begging me to come on Morning Joe? Did I ever tell you that? Ingrates!
Oh, my aching back. Matt in San Francisco says, J6, my favorite part of the hearing was the Clark Kent look-alike over the right shoulder of the woman testifying. There should be a rule about someone that good-looking being sat in the front row. I was waiting for him to rip his shirt off and tie and reveal the Superman suit. Oh, he became a thing on the internet today. Because they, you know, he had the Clark Kent nerd glasses and everything. Maybe it was a because I wore my nerd glasses last night. Took a picture, put it up on social media. There's something I love black nerd frame glasses, and yeah, he was, Matt. He absolutely was. I was waiting for the music to start. Oh, and thank you so much. We are off and running on our fundraising for the evening. Thank you to George. Thank you, George, so much. We will that takes us down to $890. Yeah, $890 to go for fundraising today. So, yay! We've gotten a start on Wednesday, prayer meeting Wednesday's fundraising. Thank you so much. Flavio said Steve Bannon's going to appeal and run out the clock. Meanwhile, back to insurrectionist podcasting. I have no doubt that. And you know, that's fine, though, because everything gets taken into account at sentencing. And even no matter what happens in the midterm elections, he's still convicted. And so if he decides to go back and insurrectionist podcast some more, the prosecution can take that into account and make mention of it to the judge. Oh, and by the way, Ralph says, "Come on, people, don't make me get nasty. Let's knock out the fundraising, please." Yeah, because there's a bill coming due that will keep us from. That if I don't pay it by, well, if I don't pay it over the weekend, we won't have a show on Monday. So that's the reality. Darlene in Connecticut says, "This is where Dems must be relentless with calling out Hawley's cowardice at every turn. Call him everything for cowardice they can think of and never stop. Maybe, just maybe, great messaging can begin with that. Maybe, please, pretty please." Yeah, hauling ass Hawley. And, chicken. We can always, it would be great if Democrats in the Senate would quietly cluck like chickens every time he stands up to speak. Bark, 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 bark. Sure, it's juvenile, but it works. And right now, it's a matter of what works. And Darlene adds, "Yeah, that fella in the front row was handsome. He was." Very much so. Do we know who he is yet? I heard someone saying last night that the audience, the live audience, largely consisted of reporters and members of Congress who had to flee. Of course, Josh was not in the room. And that the front row was reserved for, like, Capitol Police and so forth that were actually subjected to the attack. So, maybe when they regroup the village people, front row guy might turn out to be the cop. Thank you, Henry. Thank you so much. Now we're making progress. We're down now to $840 to go. And that is profoundly important. Thank you. Thank you, Henry. A sociopath, Steve, in New York, says, I know it seems like it was 200 or 300 years ago, or at least it seems that way. I seem to remember Mr. Scarborough giving all that free press, as you just pointed out, and allowing that sociopath to call into his program rather than appearing in person. Your memory is not flawed, Steve. And maybe instead of the former guy, we need to refer to him as the sociopath guy. Not TFG, but TSG. Randy Radar says Trump is not in jail because he was probably flipped a long time ago. I know that has some currency, the idea that he's either a made man or he's an informant, and that they refused to issue the burn notice. I tend to think that he's not in jail simply because we've never done that to an ex-president before. I mean, and there's, you know, there's some reason to sit and question whether they should do that or not. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm not saying I agree with the argument, but I can imagine it being, I can imagine the conversations taking place. Because there are probably a lot of people in Washington, D.C. who are scared to death of the idea that, y'all, they're going to do it again. Because, y'all, they're going to do it again. And for me, that's the argument for going ahead and locking up Donald Trump, because they're going to do it again anyway. Oh, Cowbell, Matt. Just call him Jog Hawkeye. This sounds like a Star Wars character, doesn't it? Kind of one of those quivering little rodent-like creatures. And Matt noting a front row dude seemed to walk out with the woman who testified. Maybe her boyfriend? I'm sure we'll find out soon enough. Oh, my. And then Holly hauling to chicken wrap. And the fact that they put a spotlight on him. I mean, can you... We could just listen to that for the rest of the program. I'm sorry. We in these dark times, we need a reason to laugh, and God bless whoever did that. Apparently, that was Acyn, A-C-Y-N, at Acyn on Twitter. And somebody else said, from now on, if political reporters ask Josh Hawley if he's planning to run, he's going to have to ask them to clarify. And apparently there was some tittering in the audience at the hearing, too. Ah, okay. We now know the identity of Hot Front Row guy. Clark Kent, Ron and Raleigh, says, the young man's name is Alex Wallet, a medical student, W-O-L-L-E-T, not W-A-L-L-E-T. Alex Wallet, a medical student from Youngstown, Ohio. Doctor, my pain is at a 10. Thank you, Flavio. Thank you for sending along Holly Hauling to Chicken Wrap. But I'm old school, and I admit that I really, really enjoyed loved the version that showed him running to the Benny Hill theme. Chariots of Fire was not shabby either. What else? Oh, this was cute. I missed this a couple of days ago, but it's at least worth the mention. Melanoma Trump yesterday tried to explain away, according to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, she tried to explain away why she didn't say anything about the insurrection on the day thereof. The reader from Fox said, former First Lady Melanoma Trump said Thursday, remember, she is the first and only presidential spouse thus far in the history of this nation, ever to remove her clothing and be photographed naked for the sexual gratification of absolute strangers in exchange for money. Her excuse was she was fulfilling her official duties as First Lady of the United States of America on January 6, 2021, saying it. If I had been fully informed of the events taking place at Capitol during day, I would have immediately denounced the violence. Oh, really? Fulfilling her official duties? That's the problem. The Constitution contains no official duties for the first spouse, because that might involve the Constitution actually containing or mentioning women, which, of course, the Constitution does not. Nonetheless, she said, as with all first ladies who preceded me, it was my obligation to record contents of White House's historic rooms, including taking archival photographs of all renovations. Several months in advance, I organized a qualified team of photographers, archivists, and designers to work with me in White House to ensure perfect execution. Maybe not use that word, melanoma, execution, considering your husband's followers were kind of hell-bent on a perfect execution of the Vice President of the United States. As required, we scheduled January 6, 2021 to complete the work on behalf of our nation. Yeah, no. Meanwhile, her former assistant and now enemy, Stephanie Grisham, texted her and said, do you want to tweet that peaceful protests are the right of every American, but there's no place for lawlessness and violence? And Melanoma responded, no! And Stephanie Grisham going on telling CNN, for me, it was really important because, you know, over the years working with Melania Trump, I was able to go to her. You know, she was the first person in our entire administration who condemned the Charlottesville, and often I would be able to go to her and say, this is bad, and she would even pick up the phone and call her husband and talk him down from something, or she would put out a statement well ahead of the West Wing to set a tone saying, this is not okay. That day, when I sent her that text, you know, the text I wanted her to say wasn't even political. It was just saying everybody has the right to peaceful protest, but there's no room for violence. And she just said, no! It just made me think she knew something. It made me think she knew that perhaps her husband was going to be down there. She knew something ahead of time. I don't know this for a fact, but again, knowing her as well as I did at that point, it was so unlike her to not have condemned it that that was the moment it all kind of broke me. That's what I wrote in the book. My book, you know, the book that's on sale now at better booksellers everywhere. And I resigned immediately afterward, Grisham said. I was busy fulfilling constitutional duty of First Lady. Medical student, Matt asks, proctology? One can dream. Yeah. OBGYN. Girl can dream. Ha! Okay, we'll stop. And apparently... Thank you, Raps. Josh Hawley is the gift that keeps on giving. There's also a video of Hawley hauling ass to the to Sir Robin's theme. From Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Bravely bold Sir Robin rode forth from Camelot. He was not afraid to die, oh, brave Sir Robin. He was not at all afraid to be killed in nasty ways. Bravely, 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 brave Sir Robin. The bravely, 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 bravely part goes really well as he's headed down the stairs, running away. He was not at all afraid to be smashed into a pulp, or to have his eyes gouged out and his elbows broken, to have his body split and kneecaps split and his body burned away, and his lips all, limbs all hacked and mangled, brave Sir Robin. Yeah. I'd love to see that if you need. Y'all can, that would be fun. Yeah, because Asen said, all the good music versions of this have been done, and I can never leave anything up with music, but... Here's Josh Hawley running away to chicken wrap. And as a caveat, Darlene in Connecticut says, Dickette in a wig is right there to sing the Repig Witnesses praises to the hilt. I'm not of the same sentiment. These people are weird and fucked up. They're not heroes. They stuck with Trump until the end when he went just a bit too far, and then they all bailed quick. They didn't want liability. They all sang Trump's praises and the wonderful things he'd done for foreign policy, etc. Why? And Dickhead emphasized how all the witnesses were Republicans. I get it, and why it's a good strategy, but it just reinforces the false notion that something isn't worthy of recognition and merit unless a Republican says it or supports it. Yeah, it's almost like the political version of sexism. Oh, yeah, I was asking the whole way through the hearing last night, where was Melanoma? Where was she in all this? She knew what was going on and couldn't have cared less who was being injured and killed. She is vicious and in the marriage only for the money. I wonder if she realizes that there's not that much money.
Oh, we're rich, Melanoma. We're so rich.
Show me the money! But speaking of the Trump supporters, I ran across something earlier today. Oh, darn it. Where'd it go? It's the, it was from Axios. But the bottom line is, they're already planning to completely, because, you know, while a few people have broken with him over January 6th, there's still a very hardcore, cancerous knot of dead-enders who want him back bad. And among other things, they have plans to completely gut the DOJ, gut the federal law enforcement generally, continue the destruction of things like the Department of State that they were already well along the way toward doing. and they think they can. Once again, it's a case of they're telling us who they are. They're telling us what they plan. They're telling us what they want. And what they intend. And it's on us if we choose not to act on this existential crisis. Let's see, here's another Josh Hawley. Yeah, Benny Hill. I know it's a radio show, but still. It's awfully fun. Oh, this is just too easy and fun. Yeah, there's a... There it is. Oh, didn't. Sorry. We should stop that. Let's try to have a serious radio program here. I don't know if we can. But we can try. Anyway, I was late to the microphone for reasons previously stated. And now I have filibustered for almost the entire hour. So without further ado, let's see what's happening in the old holler tree around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Fried chicken lady. Thank you, Stephen. That's why she was late. Fried chicken lady. And is it all white meat or all dark meat? Or can you give me... I don't want wings. Wings are such a ripoff. And do I need to get my sides now, or can I wait till tomorrow? Well, go to KFC, lady. But I was sweet. I wasn't ugly about it or anything. But it was like, damn. Yakety Sax by Boots Randolph. Yes, thank you, Flavio. That's what that is. Yakety Sax by Boots Randolph. Well, now we've got $840 to go to get caught up. Jesus, it would be nice if we could. Because we've got a four-day week next week. And we just can't end July in a deficit. We can't do that. Because that just makes things incredibly difficult. But let's go to the old holler tree. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. It looks like your setup for the front porch is cool and comfortable and aesthetically pleasing.
What happened?
I don't know. There you are.
I'm here. I heard a noise.
Well, the iPad sort of fell down, but no, we're connected. Thank heaven.
Yeah, let me tell you about this desk.
Okay.
This used to be my mother's desk, and it was in another room in an office in a remodeled garage. It got moved in here to the living room. And when I moved in, I'd set up a deal, and I built this little shelf above the desk that you can see. And I had an old computer that I had in here with a monitor. and then I had video cameras so my parents could video call my sister back in Tennessee. But anyway, the other day I got to looking at that, and I thought, because I had this 42-inch TV that belonged to my stepson, and I had it in the master bedroom connected to a computer back there, the same computer, and I said, why the hell don't I bring that whole setup out here? So I did. And I got my big old chair that I sit in when I'm watching TV, and I just got tired of using that little laptop, too, to do this.
Well, that seems like a top-notch idea. That's a big old computer monitor.
Yeah, and it's got the regular jack on the back for the old. You can do HD TV, HDMI, or the with that other plug. I forget what you call it, the blue plug. But I got that, and the TV has a setting for the PC, and that's when it goes to that cord. I was having trouble with the HDMI because it doesn't want to set the screen up right.
Did you get everything solved?
Yeah, slowly but surely I'm getting everything solved with this. I went and ordered a little mini sound bar for it the other day, got that. And then I got another order today. Remember I was telling you about last week, I think I told you about getting the Whataburger Jalapeno Ranch?
Yeah.
Well, I was in town and I went stopped at the store and got a jar of this other brand, Jalapeno Ranch, and I brought it home and I tasted it, and it doesn't even cut it. Not even close to what Whataburger is. So I figured I'd go, because I'm more than halfway through that bottle that he sent me already. Because it is just excellent on tomatoes, and I'm getting like 5 or 6 of these. I don't know if they're early girls or what they are, but they're, but you know, just bigger, a little bit bigger than a golf ball.
Oh, those are nice.
You just slice those up, and you put a dab of that dressing on each one of them on a plate, salt, pepper to taste. Which I do, and then when I'm doing the Discord group thing that we do most every night, I sit here and I eat them.
Well, speaking of dressings and sauces and the like, have you seen this internet phenomenon? The woman who came up, she's a private a catering chef. And she came up with something that she calls pink sauce. Have you seen this?
No.
Oh, you should look it up. And I mean, that, because that's just sort of an existential question. Would you ever, because it looks like Pepto-Bismol, Sparky. I don't care if it tastes like heaven.
I know what Pepto-Bismol looks like.
Yeah, I don't, sure. And that's the whole point. I don't care if it tastes like heaven. I don't think I could eat food that has something that looks like Pepto-Bismol on it. It's a visual thing.
Oh.
But I've seen like 3 different stories about pink sauce today alone. And it just looks gross.
Not Whataburger, but In-N-Out Burger, because I was in Reading a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I stopped at In-N-Out Burger and I got some fries. And I said, you got some sauce? And they used to give it in those little plastic cup things, they're real small, you know. Now they've got it in packages. They just get good. So as I was driving, I just tore off a piece of the end of that package and I just sucked the sauce in and then grab a French fry. As I was driving back to Red Bluff, it has some like dill in it or something.
I know a lot of people are kind of ambivalent or agnostic about dill, but God, I love dill.
So that's my other sauce story. I know the spicy ketchup he sent me is pretty good.
So any big plans for the weekend?
Yeah, stay in the house and stay cool.
So what is it?
I don't know how many days in a row it's been over 100 degrees in the afternoon. And Alexa tells me every day, it's the UV alert. Stay out. Don't go outside after a certain time. Because I get the weather report every day from Alexa. Then on Friday, she tells me to have a good Friday by name.
Well, and it's terribly, terribly dry, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terribly, terribly dry, and it's got me worried, too, because those pastures behind the house that used to be pastures for cattle, that they're not since it's not a cattle ranch, they're supposed to be turning them into an orchard. All they baled, got the hay off of it, and that was it. They didn't water it again. Now it is browner than brown. And if a fire got started in that field right now, it'd come racing towards my house with a little bit of north wind. But I've got a defendable space out there, but still, I used to be just as green could be all summer long, and you know, you had to put up with the oaty cow shit smell, but and the flies. But now I can look out there and I see all this burnt dead grass, sunburned, yellow.
And the thing is, if you get some needed rain, it may come as a thunderstorm, and then zip.
Oh, don't even talk about dry lightning. We haven't had any major fires up here this year yet.
I hate the way I can't help noticing the way that you append the word "yet" to that.
Well, we get used to having fires every damn year. We had the Dixie Fire last year, you know.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
It got really smoky around here when the wind was just right. And then there's years it is just horrible with the smoke. Not so much here, but when I lived in Redding, Redding's like in a bowl. It's got higher elevation hills on one end of it that rise up, and it's a higher elevation to begin with. The smoke just comes in there and it just settles. That's what helped me quit smoking. I mean, told the story last week.
That would do it.
Yeah, it did it. No, I don't have any plans anymore.
Yeah, no dates or anything?
No, my friend Mary, I think I told you last week, she broke her wrist.
Yeah. Is she okay?
Yeah, she says she's got a big clunky cast on. And she's got her granddaughter, a 13-year-old granddaughter with her all this week. Then she has to tell me about, well, the lake's looking pathetic. They're not giving Lake California any water out of the river, so it's just drying up.
I mean, that's kind of frightening. Is that a reservoir for a water supply?
No. It's just when they built the place, back in the day, they got an easement for some water from the BLM or whoever controls the water that comes out of Shasta Dam. It goes down Sacramento River that all the farmers get water out of, clear to the Delta. So I don't know. They cut them off or they dropped the river level, dropped or whatever. I don't know. But I think they their water. They have their own little water company there, and I think they run off of wells. Because where it sits is way up on the top of the hill, far away from the lake. They could be using river water. I don't know. I know Red Bluff uses river water.
Hey, Sparky, you should probably clarify what BLM is. Doing right-wing trolls are going to say, "Yep, that Black Lives Matter is controlling our water again."
Or, wait a minute, I've got it wrong. It's the Bureau of Reclamation that controls the water. It comes out of Shasta Dam. Not BLM is Bureau of Land Management. So my mistake. Because they got to control the water that goes out of the dam so they can keep the generators running too. I mean, that's where the water goes into the river from that. It's through the generators.
Well,
so do we want to talk about the January 6th? Hearing.
Well, yeah, I was going to mention that, and also, I guess today, I don't know if it's already happened or if it'll happen here in a little bit, dueling political rallies in Arizona, Stan. Nitwit Nero's holding one, and Mike Pencilneck Geek is holding the other.
Yeah, I think I heard about that.
Yeah, I guess they're nowhere near each other, but it's kind of interesting that, I mean, does Mike Pencilneck Geek think that he's building political capital out of this? But I tell you what, the one thing, Liz Cheney made it clear that, you know, she at least has a purpose in this world, and that is to be the absolute worst thing that ever happened to Donald Trump, and apparently it's working. Remember we coined the phrase here. I think it was Todd and me. Stoke the stroke. Well, she's stoking, and apparently it's working because he lost his shit last night. You know, he's finally got something that he can type at. You know, with his stupid little social media company. Truth Social, and he apparently watched the hearings last night, and then he went after Mitch McConnell.
Is this the same Mitch McConnell who was losing big in Kentucky and came to the White House to beg me for an endorsement and help? Without me, he would have lost in a landslide. A disloyal sleazebag.
And then, but this was the part that caught my eye.
I had an election rigged and stolen.
Oh,
from me and our country. The USA is going to hell. Am I supposed to be happy?
Yeah, God, I hope it doesn't hurt too little.
He's just a little child having a tantrum.
Oh, I think he's slipping.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we've been watching it for 6 years.
I hope they have to take him away in his straitjacket and put him in a rubber room. That's what I want.
Well, wasn't it earlier this year when he was doing that interview with a British documentary crew and they asked him if he lost, and he actually said yes to them, he knew he lost?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you got to continue the grift. He's making money off of the grift. And Now, if his rally turnouts start going way down, we'll know the message is getting through.
I was telling the mysterious group that Sparky mentions once in a while that I've seen several stories in the last couple of days that say insiders around Pence say it's a definitely known fact he's going to run for president. Whether he wins or not is a different question, but he's definitely trying to run for it.
Of course, he's got an ego. You got to have a big ego to run for president.
Well, I'm trying to figure out one thing.
Yeah, you got a problem going on in there?
No. But if Pence runs for president, and if 80% of the people in the United States of America want women to have access to reproductive care, and if Mike Pence says that he's for a national ban on abortion, how the hell does he? How the hell does any Republican have a prayer? I mean, I know they have one, but how do you sort out the cognitive dissonance to support a woman's right to choose and at the same time go and vote for a guy who says that a woman should not have a right to choose?
I don't know. But I heard today they think that gay marriage bill is going to pass the Senate.
Well, it should be a no-brainer. Because it just protects the marriages that have already happened.
Right. And what's the percentage of people in the country that support marriage equality? You can marry whoever you love.
I would think the number is significant.
Has the Queen of the Senate spoke up yet and claimed if he's going to vote or not for it because it might raise inflation or some crazy shit like that this time?
Which Queen of the Senate is that?
Your Queen.
Are you talking?
Joe to the Manchin Born. I haven't heard anything out of him. You know, last I checked, you know, when you said Queen of the Senate, I was immediately thinking about Miss Lindsey. Who said? I will support the Defense of Marriage Act. That's why we were talking a couple of nights ago about. Okay, is it time for all the little rent boys to speak up and say, you know, hi? Lindsay and I had a thing. Oh, I love this though. The hissy that Nitwit Nero was having.
One, but crooked Hillary Clinton, Stacey Abrams, and many others contested their elections and for a far longer time than I. Two, how do they...
And this is the real Sherlock Holmes one. Two, how do they know I watched on TV? How do they know? Three, I never said that to Kevin McCarthy, who came to Mar-a-Lago to say hi very early on. The unselects don't say there's so many lies and misrepresentations by the corrupt and highly partisan unselect committee. But then the proof that Liz Cheney is getting to. Liz Cheney is a sanctimonious loser. The great state of Wyoming is wise to her. Why not show the tapes or interview those that, with evidence, challenged the election? It's Nancy Pelosi's fault. She turned down the troops. Perhaps she was disengaged. Maybe looking for her husband. I mean, he was one more keystroke away from...
I knew it was them. I figured it out. I fooled them with the strawberries.
I mean, there's bound to be some people out there that actually love him. I mean, do you think, maybe I'm wrong. Do you think Junior and Eric the Dumber and Tafania and I wank him a daddy Trump Kushner, do you think any of them actually love him?
You know what boiled his blood, obviously, was when Liz was talking last night about people thinking McCarthy could have changed this. And then she mentioned how it hasn't been one single Democrat that's testified. It's been all his closest followers, his friends, his egomaniacs. And then she threw in the biggest jab of all, even his own family members. That's what got to him more than anything, probably.
And Jeremy?
Yeah.
And if he had a dog, the dog wouldn't like him.
And Ty Stage chose Nick to play with it.
I mean, even Jerry, what's his name? Who had Liberty the dog? Was that Nixon or Jerry Ford?
That was Jerry Ford. Sit, Liberty, sit.
Yes, yeah. And Nixon, years ago, before that, had Checkers. But he didn't go out and get it. A guy, a supporter down in Texas, sent it to him for little Julie and little Tricia to pamper and put ribbons on around his little Checker's neck. And well, I'd like to throw out.
Wait, quick, Scott, dog trivia. What was FDR's dog's name?
My little dog fella.
Well done.
Thank you.
I'm like still wondering the identity of the Secret Service agent that Major bit, and where his text messages are.
Who's Major?
Major was Biden's rescue dog.
Oh,
that apparently, you know, dogs can tell. Dogs know when people are good or bad, and Major apparently had a biting problem with regard to the Secret Service detail, and it becomes kind of understandable now, doesn't it?
Yeah, because they, you're right, dogs, even, well, cats also. If a cat doesn't like you, there's no mistaking that, okay? I'm more of a cat person than a dog person, but yeah, dogs know. But I wanted to throw this out. You know, I'm a little late to the party today. I missed the first hour. Now, you were late. You were tardy, Robin.
I was.
The big hand was on the 12, and the little hand was on the 5.
And I was not here.
And you were out bologna shopping, from what I hear, through your grapevine.
Yes, if you have to put it that way. That sounds terribly vulgar, but I was.
That must have been awfully fine bologna, or as I used to call it, bologna, like that hard G in there. I mean, was it worth it? Was it worth it keeping the family waiting for minutes on end?
Well, no, of course it wasn't.
You're in the fucking White House dining room if you're doing that shit. Did you have the TV on in the car looking at the carnage? American carnage. No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to give you a rough time.
Well, no, I was on schedule, Scott. Damn it, I was. Everything was going to be fine until the lady from the 717 area code.
Where is that?
I have no idea, but somehow or another, she announced her area code and proceeded to, I don't know, pull a Spanish Inquisition on the fried chicken, on pre-ordering fried chicken at the Wiggling Pig.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquichicken.
I never understood people.
Tough crowd.
Fried chicken in the store. As I understand it, that chicken is chicken that had been on the poultry counter, the chiller, for some time, and about 3 days before the expiration date on that chicken, they take it back and batter it up and fry that stuff.
I know at the Wiggling Pig they use the same chicken they sell in the meat case is not the chicken they use for their fried chickens.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it? Is there a company that supplies like gas stations?
No, but they get bigger whole chickens for their rotisseries, and then they cut them up for their fried chicken.
I mean, if you want chicken, go to KFC or Church's or what's another chicken?
Well, I was kind of there too. It was like this is a lot of inquiry for Piggly Wiggly Chicken. And I mean, it's okay fried chicken, but I got to tell you the truth, there's no seasoning in it. I mean, this is some serious white people fried chicken. No salt, no pepper, no nothing.
Well, what's the point? I mean,
Chris had no clue that was my father or his father.
What was that?
Yeah. I go, over the years, I've never questioned it. I'll call your dad my uncle. That looks so much alike.
And so, you know, by the, and I get that, and it's like, damn, how did that? So, yeah, the program started at, I think, 11 minutes after 5, our time. If you're on a speaker, could you not be? Because it's really hard to hear you. Okay, area code 717, according to Randy Radar and Roger, is South Central Pennsylvania in the Susquehanna Valley, Harrisburg, Lancaster, and York.
Yeah, I was thinking Pennsylvania. Maybe an Amish fellow found a discarded cell phone on the side of the road.
No, and I guess she had her little grandson with her, and he was wearing a T-shirt that had a little turtle on it that said, "Just chill out. God's got this." Philippians 4:6.
Oh, Robin, you've reminded me of something. And I want to.
Am I going to regret the reminder?
No, but it's something that you ever when you're watching TV and a commercial comes on and you've seen it once and you never want to see it again. That you flip the channel, you grab the remote and change it to anything else. I mean, Newsmax TV I would watch for 60 seconds instead of this commercial. And I think it's for some sort of web service. I think it's AWS, which is an Amazon thing for web developers or something. I think that's who it is because I've only seen it once or twice. So every time it comes on, I turn it off. They have, for some reason, resurrected the intro bad to what sounds like Bobby McFerrin's stupid song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy."
All these years later, and we still hate poor Bobby McFerrin's song.
No, I have nothing against the song itself. I just am against hearing it. If I want to, it's like, that's why I didn't watch Everybody Loves Raymond. How fucking presumptuous can the Columbia Broadcasting System get? No one polled me on whether or not I love Raymond, so therefore I am not part of the consensus, therefore it's not everybody. I mean, there's probably a half a billion Chinese who've never heard of Raymond, and they don't think of it one way or another. I mean, what is this everybody shit?
There's probably a half a billion Chinese.
Well, no, I don't mean to get all ethnic, but, you know, they're...
No, but you reminded me of something. You reminded me of something early on when American carbonated beverages started going to China. And, you know, translation into and out of Mandarin is not a precise thing.
Oh, it's tricky at best.
Yeah. Dicey, even.
Yeah.
Well, this was back in the era when Coca-Cola, their slogan was "Coke Adds Life."
Oh, I think I remember this, but I don't remember what the translation was. But it was a pip.
Well, yeah, anyway. It was beautiful because they translated "Coke Adds Life" into Mandarin, brought the Coca-Cola into the grocery stores, and the shit flew off the shelves. They couldn't keep it. And the Coca-Cola executives were all, "This is great. They really love Coca-Cola in communist China."
Red China.
And somebody came along and said, "Yeah, who did y'all get to translate this?" "Well, I don't know. Some guy said he knew Chinese." "You fuckwits. What? You had Coke Adds Life translated into Coke Brings Your Dead Ancestors Back to Life."
Oh my God! I'd like to see.
Pop the top, honey. We're seeing Granny tonight. Probably a half a billion Chinese don't love Raymond.
Are there any angry letters in emphatic Mandarin about where's Grandpa?
Oh, you hurt me. Oh, by the way, Philippians 4:6 from the little kid's T-shirt. Be careful for the King James Version, because that's because God speaks Elizabethan English. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
And they're in the line to buy chicken or bologna or
chicken,
whatever. Well, God, I mean,
I was in line. Okay, if you must know, I was in the line for jalapeno loaf. Because it's really good.
Well, I've always said, don't let your jalapeno loaf. But anyway,
oh, God.
But see, here's the thing.
You're making my cowbell wrist all sore.
What is that, Philippians
4:6?
It's short anyway. I mean, it's only got like five chapters, as I recall. But, or maybe.
Yeah, but it's action-packed, all about wives submitting unto their husbands as the church does unto Christ.
But if they really believe Philippians 4, whatever, if God's going to provide, why are you in the line to buy whatever it is that you're buying? If you really believed it, you could sit home with the TV cranked up and let your request be known to God, and the chicken man would be there within minutes, even before you finished your request. Because, I mean, God knows everything.
He knew before you prayed it.
White meat or dark meat or gizzards or livers or whatever.
I did, always... no. We're back to the chicken. I know. Emilio was like, $1.20 a pound for chicken? Can I get a senior's discount? Can I pay with this Burger King coupon? It's expired, but the guys over there usually accept it. What? It's a library card? Really? Can I pay with the library card? You're not far off, Emilio. And Matt in San Francisco is just tired of the chicken talk. All right, Robin, what kind of fucking chicken did she get? Well, she got the 32-piece for $39.95.
Must be a rally down at their neighborhood.
But no wings. She doesn't want the wings. Wings are such a ripoff.
Well, you can't tell the left ones from the right ones, and that's important to some folks, Robin, you see?
Well, yeah, I remember the wit and wisdom and high-toned humor of Rush Limbaugh. Who is still dead, by the way.
Oh, Pineapple Central.
Yes. He thought he was so clever all through the 90s. You know, every now and then, you know, when he wasn't referring to female to male gender confirmation surgery as an added dick to me, he was saying...
You didn't just say that.
No, it's fixed in my memory because... You know, broad daylight, family broadcast time, and we were in the green Ford Windstar van, and the kids were little, and I should have known better, and the next thing, Daddy, what's an adidectomy?
So the surgeon was all scrubbed up.
Stop it. Don't, because it's so disgustingly transphobic. But he would tell
says
that.
To the nurse, on the schedule, nurse? Jesus, we've got an...
Leave it alone, please.
All right.
I actually... It was one of the rare times that I ever fired off a letter to the FCC. Figured I'd use the right-wing talking point. What about... What do I tell my children? But, you know, he would tell that joke, and on the days he wasn't telling that joke, I mean, he just drove it into the ground. My friends... Have you heard about the Hillary Clinton special at KFC? Yeah, if you go in and you ask for a Hillary, they'll give you one left wing and two small breasts. Ha ha ha! I'm just a Canadian. I'm just a comedian. I almost said Canadian. I'm just a comedian, my friends. But this is Matt in San Francisco. This is downright eerie. Back when I was nitwit Nero and all the thing, all right, what a fool. Yeah.
I would have fooled him with the, I found out through the strawberries.
Matt said, I happen to be slicing strawberries as you said that. This program is plugged into the universe.
I'd go you one better.
And it is.
I was hand juggling two little bearings as you were speaking of it, like Captain Francis of Queeg, doing my famous Queeg impression. That is such a great movie.
Oh, and yeah, and the takedown at the end. Who is it? Ben Gazzara that plays the lawyer, and he takes
no, it's Married to Rosemary, Clooney, Ferrer, Jose Ferrer,
yeah, absolutely takes down the the smartass junior officers, Fred McMurray and the like, because he didn't like what he had to do to Captain Queeg on the stand to make him go all Darlene in Connecticut says, wait, tapes? Did Trump utter something about tapes when he was on his projection-laden rant against Dickette and the Whig? The January 6th committee better start looking for them. Who knows? Maybe they will further enlighten us on that time frame where there's no record of what Trump was doing as the insurrection was underway. Yeah, curiously, I mean, you know, because, you know, Scott, you're forever talking about, I don't mean that in a bad way, but you talk about Rosemary Woods in the 18 minutes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, isn't it a little weird that other people can confirm that Nitwit Nero called them and records bear it out? You know, there was a call to Rudy Giuliani, that shows up. But there are absolutely no phone calls on the White House presidential call log from whence all presidential phone calls are supposed to originate.
Well, and it's part of, I don't know if it's a law, but it's, if nothing else, it's a tradition that you want to preserve every fucking scrap of paper that passes by or near or is in any way connected.
Yeah, well, that, I mean, and that's why he was trying to flush that stuff down the toilet.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. But I'm intrigued about tapes. After Nixon's debacle with recording conversations in the Oval and the Executive Office Building and all that, I wouldn't go anywhere near tapes. I wouldn't have an 8-track player in the dining room for music to dine by, a little Mantovani or whatever. I mean, I can't imagine.
Tapes? Did someone say tapes?
This is not live, it's Memorex. Who knows more about tapes than I?
Mr. President, it's those Hollywood homos and Jews out there that are destroying America. That's right, Billy Graham, it is. Henry, it's the Jews. Yes, Mr. President, this is the Jews. This is my people. See, this is what makes all my speech therapy so difficult, because I can't just abandon all these horrible impressions.
Henry, pray with me. God, I remember that.
Jawohl, mein Führer.
I can walk! Anyway.
Animals can be bred and slaughtered?
I wish there were tapes, actually. But I just can't imagine anybody being that stupid. I mean, yes, we are talking about Trump here, but even so, I just... Now, anyway, I'm going to hush up now and let somebody jump in.
Hey, Robin.
The scene of the highlighted scene, the little spotlight on the video.
Yeah, I know. I'm not over it.
Doing the Holly trot. a little powder down there would take care of that chafing. He runs like...
Walk this way. If I had to walk that way, I wouldn't need the talcum powder.
Anyway,
Did I hear you, Kevin?
Yeah. Good. Hey, Kevin. Hi, Robin. Hi, everybody.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
It's a beautiful Friday. One of these days, I have to figure out how to broadcast outside, damn it. I just do.
Me and Tracy just got back from Rhode Island. From the beach.
Good trip? Overall?
Oh, fantastic. Couldn't have been better.
I saw those
incredibly crispy, flaky, beautiful Italian pastries that she posted. What in God's name are those, Kevin?
They are sfogliatelle. And they are incredibly crispy, flaky pastry filled with ricotta and some citron. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. That sounds heavenly.
Oh, no. They're beyond heavenly. They'll, like, take you next level.
I mean, they looked like they were so light that they might just float off, you know, float off the table.
They do, actually. They've been a favorite of mine since childhood. Screw cannoli. Give me a sfogliatelle.
Oh, my goodness. Leave the cannoli? Really, Tracy?
Leave the freaking cannoli. I get the reference.
Well, I mean, you know, James Caan passed away last week, so.
Yeah, bless him, but he wasn't in that scene.
No, he wasn't. He was dead.
He was already dead. Thank you. I know the Godfather.
I'm sure up and down, backwards and forwards and inside and out, right?
And sideways, too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But, hey, I was watching MSNBC today, and they had a guy that was on Obama's assistant national security director, and they were talking about the Secret Service texts. And they don't use regular texting like you and I do and everybody else does. They use a different encryption. Have you heard about that?
No, I hadn't, but I kind of assumed, I assumed that it, you know, they weren't just using Apple iMessage.
Exactly. So I guess the point the guy was making was, don't think that those texts are just out there in the atmosphere and they're just going to resurrect them. You follow me?
Oh, yeah. It just flummoxes me.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the end of the day, too, the guy was saying the whole thing's just a bad look because of how three Secret Service agents have lawyered up. So that can't be good. They don't want to, you know. So now they got to really haul these people in and say, look, you know, what happened? You know? Anyway.
It sounds like somebody's going to be taking the fifth.
Oh, yeah. Well, three of them hired the lawyers. So, and then you got, then of course, you know, they were talking about the guy that got the White House position. It was a Secret Service agent. He got a political position. And there was another guy. Yeah, he was former assistant director for the Secret Service. And he said, that's a no-no, you know.
You're talking about Tony Honorato.
He's the guy that got hired. But the guy they were talking to, who did he work for? Might have been under Bush. I don't know. He was assistant director of Secret Service. But, yeah, Ornato, right, exactly. He's the guy that Trump hired for that position. And he said, you know, shouldn't be any Secret Service people holding political positions because they're like, you know, we put a lot of trust in the Secret Service to protect the president and important people, and they're apolitical. That's what they should be, you know? Anyway.
Well, Kevin, according to Malcolm Nance, that text will be found. And he's usually correct.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
Well, then.
More than once.
He said
it's up there in the cloud somewhere, and somebody, some geek, will be able to drag it back.
How you doing, Steve? How are you and Karen?
We're doing good. Doing good. I appreciate you asking.
Tickled me pink when I saw your name in the group there, Steve.
Karen tested negative for COVID last Friday and had been COVID free ever since. So
it's great news.
And I never did test positive for it, which, you know, was good. Good. So the shots work.
Oh, yeah.
When was your last booster, Steve?
It was around my birthday, so I want to say May. Probably in May.
Okay, so you should be covered through November, and hopefully by then they've got the BA4 and 5 vaccine out once we're going to, you know, BA549.
Yeah.
Aw, Steve got it. Yay. Yeah.
Speaking of 4-9, you know that song, 8-6-7-5-3-4-9?
5309, yes. Tommy Two Tone.
Yes.
209, I'm sorry. Tracy played something on the beach where they went up.
Jenny, I got your number.
Yeah.
867-5309.
Nine.
But nobody knew Jenny's number.
Nobody knew Jenny's number. They said, hey, what's Jenny's number?
What?
And they're like, what are you talking about? And finally, I guess one guy got it, but it took like 50 people or something like that. I don't know.
Now it's drilled into everybody's heads. You know, you'll never forget it.
Well, there were phone companies that had to cancel that number back then.
Yeah.
It was just like Jeremy brought up the old Oscar Mayer bologna commercial. That's the only way I can remember to spell bologna. Bologna is
B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
Yeah. I still reference that when I spell it. Funny, you know, how things like that get drilled into your head.
So Steve,
I've got the whole damn jingle. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And if you ask me why, I say...
Go ahead, Robin.
No, you're fine. Go, Kevin.
Okay, yeah, Steve, I can officially retire. I'm 59 and a half, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah, you can.
I'm gonna keep working.
Karen has decided after meeting with a financial advisor with the shaky economy, it would be in her best interest to keep going for a little while as well. So
stop it.
Yeah.
And when you pay money for a financial advisor, that's the thing. They don't tell you what you want to hear. They tell you what you need to hear. And they're very direct, you know, so.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they tell you exactly what you're up against.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and I need to send thanks out to Jeremy. Jeremy, thank you. We are now down to 8:30 to go to finish the week. So 8:30 is... all of today, all of yesterday, and $230 of Wednesday. The Deacons have been passing that Wednesday plate for a long time. I mean, I think they may have actually walked off a few pounds by now. Thank you, Jeremy. And it would be no, really. As I said, there's a bill that if we don't raise the money and I don't pay the bill, we don't have a show on Monday and don't have a show again until I do. And that makes things a little dicey. Going all the way back. Oh, my God. The things that we get hung up on here. Going all the way back to the great chicken controversy. Haley in Arkansas. And she says, yes, I'm outing myself. I have to differ with Scott from San Diego. I work at a Piggly Wiggly meat department. Yeah, outing myself. And the deli department buys their chicken in bulk from the same warehouse the meat department uses. None of that frying old chicken. By the way, in small towns, there's no KFC, Popeyes, nor that hate chicken outfit, so small town grocery store delis are the only choice. And by the way, they do catfish on Fridays. Same here. I don't know. Is this some sort of Piggly Wiggly orthodoxy, the fish on Fridays thing? But it's the best piece of fried fish within 100 miles, without a doubt.
Point of order, Senator. Who was it who gave me the straight dope on chicken and the grocery store?
That's Haley in Arkansas. She works in the meat department.
All right, I'll tell you what it is, Haley. I got brainwashed, and here's how it happened. Back in the 80s, my wife worked for a company that would deliver groceries. In other words, they didn't want you to shop at the store. And part of their propaganda was to convince consumers, prospective customers, that the meat in the grocery store was just old and rancid, and we give you a better deal, and you don't have to leave your home. We bring the groceries to you for a monthly fee. And, you know, this was back in the 80s. And it was a real company. And the quality of their food was superb. I don't know where the hell they got it. They probably got they bought their food from the outlet that provides victuals to the third world dictators. I mean, because this was primo food, and you certainly did pay for it, so you paid a little extra for the convenience. But that's why I had the notion about old chickens getting fried up for sale in the deli department. I still got that 40-year-old propaganda from the food delivery service rattling around in my head. But I will give you credit for knowing what you're talking about, whereas I don't. I truly don't when I'm spouting propaganda. Anyway, onward with the rest of it.
I wanted to add this in and not neglect to mention it in our discussion today. It's one of those moments where I really am proud of how far ahead of the curve we are as a community here. If you remember way back when Texas passed its vigilante anti-choice misogynistic mob rule sue the Uber guy law with regard to abortion, I know that there's an archived program there where I said, well, you know, these stupid people don't understand that this can be used to do things that they really don't want to do. And so, lo and behold, today, your governor, Scott, and of course, Sparky's governor, and Bilbo Rick's governor, and Tracy, you know, Gavin Newsom, signed a bill into law today, passed by the California legislature, and it says that private citizens can bring civil actions against anyone who manufactures, distributes, transports, or imports assault weapons or ghost guns. And it's exactly what we discussed on this program months and months and months and months ago before it was even considered in California. So now people can go after, it does the same thing that the Texas law does. It provides $10,000 if you win.
A large sweet iced tea, please. Yeah, so I also have a cheeseburger with no pickles, extra onions. Extra onions on the cheeseburger too, please.
Extra onions on the cheeseburger?
Yep, and I also have an Oreo McFlurry, please.
Jeremy's going to make friends with those extra onions.
Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce.
Oh, my God, it's jingle night on Friday on the front porch.
Yeah, in your way. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, we are making progress. Thank you to Ralphs. We're now down to 820. $220 finishes last Wednesday. So thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much for being there. But the thing that the bill that Gavin Newsom signed was deliberately designed to force the Supreme Court to do something. Because when the Texas law went up, any responsible court would have enjoined the bill pending full litigation. And so this California bill is designed to go up, it's designed for California to be sued over and finally wind up in the Supreme Court and let our majestic, most puissant, dread sovereign Catholic supreme majesties rule on it. Of course, the problem is that gang has no shame, and that gang does not, they've got no interest in actual legal reasoning. They're just ideologues. And so I have no doubt that they will probably strike down the California law and leave the Texas law standing.
Well, see, there's a constitutional right to own guns, but there ain't no constitutional right to no abortion.
Can you already just visualize the text of the opinion?
But there's good legal argument that the Second Amendment does not give the individual the right to own guns.
Yeah, Roger. That's a valid argument. But the problem is D.C. versus Heller, as authored by Fat Dead Tony, says otherwise. And that's a precedent this court will, by God, respect. Hell, they won't just respect it. They'll fetishize it. Well, I mean, it already has been.
Well, if they're really, as they call themselves, originalists, We shouldn't have anything more technologically advanced than muskets and those little pistols that are hard to manage. Flintlock pistols or whatever. I mean, really, when it comes down to it. You know that the founders who penned that, they certainly weren't using, the Fisher Space Pen or flares writing the documents. It was a quill and a little bottle of ink.
And the paper was actually made of the innards of sheep.
Really?
That's what vellum is, or sheepskin. That's why a diploma is referred to as a sheepskin. Parchment, vellum, is animal-based.
Boy.
It's not like they were pounding out papyrus on the banks of the Potomac, Scott.
Well, it doesn't grow well. You've got to go down to the Norfolk area.
Norfolk.
Yeah.
Well, I did like what Gavin Newsom said today. He was... He signed the bill at Santa Monica College, where there had been a shooting spree in 2013. He said, "We will," because he cast some pretty serious shade at the aforementioned Supreme et ceteras. He said, "We believe this will be litigated in the Supreme Court, and we believe the Supreme Court will be challenged, because if there's any principle left whatsoever, and that's an open-ended question with this Supreme Court, there's no way they can deny us the right to move in this direction."
Because the laws, certain laws are delegated to the states, if I remember my constitutional, government chapter from years gone by. And isn't that one of the things that the states regulate? Who and how gun possession works? I mean, they don't ban things outright necessarily.
No, and D.C. versus Heller even says that states and municipalities have an absolute right to pass reasonable limitations on gun ownership. Which some cities have done, Chicago.
So anybody suing California would have to show that the California law is unreasonable. And I'm sure...
Well, they'd have to show that it's unconstitutional.
Well, that too.
And it's interesting because the California legislature built a self-destruct clause into this law, and they said that the law says that it will become inoperative upon invalidation of the Texas vigilante law. So if the Texas vigilante law gets struck down, then the Texas law, then the California law becomes inoperative automatically. And if the Texas Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court were to strike down the vigilante law, the California law says it would be repealed on January 1 of the following year.
So they theoretically have them boxed in.
You mean the court?
Yeah.
Theoretically, but like Gavin Newsom said... if there's any principle left whatsoever, and that's an open-ended question with this Supreme Court.
Well, I mean, what did...
I mean, he nailed it.
What was that famous line about bankers or agents or whatever? The size of an agent's heart or a banker's heart. You could set 3 caraway seeds...
Yeah.
To the navel of a flea and still have room for an agent's heart or a banker's heart or whatever. They just need to... this is why voting matters. I don't mean to pull that drum out again and start beating it. But you look in recent years, the number of justices that have been put up there because we didn't have the wherewithal to vote into office presidents who wouldn't nominate Jaspers like that. And we didn't have the wherewithal to nominate.
Yeah, I mean, just remember, George W. Bush should never have been president of the United States. And it's from George W. Bush that we got old balls and strikes John Roberts and Sammy Bad Breath Alito.
There you go. And this travesty during the Trump administration with the handmaiden and Brett and who was the other one? I can't think of who it was. But the voting or not voting has consequences is all I'm trying to get across.
Yeah, and throwing petulant temper tantrums. And wasting votes on horrible people like Jill fucking Stein. Sorry about the F word, Billable. But that's her middle name. That's journalism. Little known fact, her name is Jill fucking Stein. Never mind. You're going to love this. Ralph's just sent this along. Apparently this is real. Josh Hawley, according to Ron Filipkowski, ran out on stage in Tampa this evening and said, well, he's got a message for liberals about J6. Hockey puck time.
And listen, I know what I'm talking about because I had him do it to me. I objected on January 6th last year to the state of Pennsylvania. And I just want to say to all of those liberals out there in the liberal media, just in case you haven't gotten the message yet, I do not regret it. And I am not backing down. I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to cower. I'm not going to run from you. I'm not going to bend the knee. So listen.
I'm not going to cower. I'm not going to run from you. God, this would, if I still had my DJ skills, this would be the point where I would cue up a great 80s cover of an older song by a band called Soft Cell. Anybody remember Tainted Love? Remember the chorus? Once I ran to you, now I run from you.
Yeah.
This insurrection, yeah, never mind. Makes me want to pee myself. I'm full of fear and I'm not kidding. I think I just ruined, dashed our hopes for fundraising this evening, but yeah. Josh Hawley, yeah. And did you hear the maggots all cheering? And whatever this is, Turning Point Action in Tampa, all the insurrectionists are joining in, according to Kayli Maganini.
People want to join us. We have some rock stars on. Senator Ted Cruz, rock star. Senator Josh Hawley, rock star. Secretary Ben Carson, who I got to serve with in the Trump administration, rock star. We have a lot of those names today. Charlie Kirk, he's about to join me. We're supposed to start in 4 minutes, and Charlie Kirk will be our first guest. So you do not want to miss it. Look at this. All the students are heading our way.
Yeah, that's
Is that where Hawley was speaking?
Yeah, it's Turning Point Action. It's a it's a group for young maggots. You know, trying to groom the next couple of generations of maggots to keep on fucking America.
I'm surprised.
So inspiring.
Ben Carson passed his bedtime.
Yeah, because it, well, I wonder if when he travels, I wonder if he takes his portrait of him holding hands with Jesus walking on the beach with him.
Now, you're not deriding that footprints moment that we've all seen on the poster in the religious bookstores. Jesus, come on. You're cynical. You're worse than Asa. I don't know if Asa is on. I'll hear from him if he is.
Hey, everybody.
Billable.
Who's that? Billable.
Hey, what's going on? I'm
I'm all by myself here at the office. I have been all day. It's weird. I got a game of golfing this morning and rolled in at like 11:30. It's like nobody's here. Like,
well, I was going to say, if you're alone in the office today, Billable, that means you can blast the rap music.
Or we could have like a fuck-a-thon or whatever, you know? As far as language.
Yeah, there I was worrying. I mean, I apologized to you a minute ago.
Oh, that's okay. No worries. No worries. Yeah, I had a golf game today. It was pretty good. I was even par after the front on the front nine. I started with a par, got a double bogey on a par three. Then I rattled off about five in a row pars. Then I got a birdie on the seventh hole, par on the eighth. And then I got a really weird par on the ninth. I hit my drive left and had like a wedge shot to the green and a cart path between, I guess just short of the green, there was a cart path. I messed up my wedge. I underhit it, but it still landed, hit the cart path, bounded on the green. Then I made like a 20 footer for a birdie. So that was fun. I wasn't expecting that. And then the back nine, I started out with a double bogey, lost my drive to the left. And then a triple bogey on the next hole. And so then I sort of tried to cobble together, you know, the back nine. I shot like 69. I should have shot like about a 62 or 63, but it was fun anyway.
Well, except for the double bogey part.
Yeah, well, the triple and yeah, the double and the triple together. I shoot like even par front nine. And then on holes, 10 and 11, I'm a combined like five over. So go figure that, you know. That happens when you hit a bad tee shot on 11 and kind of scald a little pitch shot, and it bounds over the green, and you got to chip back up, and you're afraid of hitting it too far, so you like short chip it, and then you finally get it on in five and one putt. So, yeah, but it was okay though. My putting game's been good, and I only had 28 putts all day, so that was pretty good. 14 and 14 on each of the nines, so a lot of scrambling, you know. So anyway, that's been my day. I'm just kind of sitting here at the office, trying to do some spreadsheets of stock. Gain and losses for a tax court case that I have on Halloween. I'm trying to see if I can settle it. So we'll see. So how's everybody doing?
We're muddling through, you know, talking about fried chicken and...
Yeah, I heard that.
So any thoughts, Billable, on the Bannon conviction today?
It's kind of expected. I mean, he basically, I think his only defense was that he didn't know he was required to report, you know, to Congress on that day. That's more or less what the motion in limine limited his defenses to, as I recall. So. He really had nothing to go on.
Yeah, I mean, he presented no defense.
Right, right.
And I guess he'll pursue this to the Supreme Court, and I guess he thinks he's going to get his conviction overturned based on the limitations to his defense. Because, among other things, he also wanted to plead executive privilege.
Oh, yeah, well, he wasn't part of the administration, though. How could he do that?
Well, not only that, he had no executive privilege because executive privilege stays with the office. It does not travel with former presidents like the Secret Service does.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, no, his defense is bullshit. I mean, I just hope that he serves time in jail. I mean, he may eventually, after all the appeals. I mean, we're talking, these are misdemeanors, right? Isn't it? Isn't it a misdemeanor
charge?
Right? So it's like they shouldn't spend all this time and money, you know, litigating a misdemeanor. Although, you know, it's kind of up to the defendant, you know, who loses, if they want to keep fighting about it, you know. But it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, it's too bad that the you know, that he couldn't have been found in inherent contempt by Congress itself and thrown in the jail that should exist but doesn't anymore, you know, below the Capitol or whatever, you know.
That would have been fun.
I came across an article that stated each of the charges was a minimum of 30 days and a maximum of 1 year.
Okay. Well, the thing is, those always run concurrently, usually not consecutively. You know, when you have multiple charges, that's the presumption. In order to run consecutively, the judge has to make a specific finding that it's appropriate to do that under the circumstances. So yeah, we're talking, you know, yeah, up to a year, but he's not going to get a year. He might get 6 months, maybe not. I don't know how Maggie.
But if the judge has to make that specific finding, wouldn't his party admission statements on his insurrectionist podcast perhaps provide fodder for that upward departure?
Yeah, quite possibly. Sure. Yeah. 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 I mean, what's the name of the judge? Do you know?
I had it on the tip of my tongue, but he's a maggot. He's a maggot appointee.
Yeah. He's not that one judge who, like, basically, you know, paid the guy $500 and apologized to him and said, here, go on your way. It wasn't quite that bad, but, you know.
No, it's not, it's not that judge.
Really lenient sentence. Okay. It's a different judge. Okay.
I mean, personally, given the outrageous and egregious nature of his conduct, and given the MAGA administration's propensity for simply ignoring all legal norms, I would think that a finding would be sufficient to allow the judge to, you know, I wouldn't give him the full year, because doesn't a 1 year sentence trigger some sort of good time bullshit? Give him two consecutive 364 day sentences.
Well, I think it's got to be just more than 1 year.
Well, one year, you know, the misdemeanor cutoff is 1 year.
Right. Yeah. So I guess the good time credit now is like 15% of whatever your sentence is, if it's a year or more. You're right, it is a year or more. So, yeah,
and this is club fed anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he'll probably have lots of people who like him in Club Fed, I imagine. I mean, the guy, you know, is probably a lot of maggots there on, you know, there on white collar crimes.
Well, I know Scott did. Billable, did you happen to watch Gaslit?
No, I haven't.
Oh, so good. You, if you watch it and you get to the, scenes where, I mean, it's not like it's a spoiler or anything. When you get to the scenes where G. Gordon Liddy goes to prison, that's what you want for Steve Bannon. Do you agree, Scott?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
G. Gordon.
Yeah. Well, being a federal case, where would they send him for whatever sentence he ends up with, if he does?
Well, remember, Don Blankenship got popped on a misdemeanor. And they sent him to, you know, for incinerating the victims of Upper Big Branch Mine. No. He didn't get that. He got the misdemeanor for I think cheating the shareholders or some such. No, cheating the I'm misremembering. Cheating the shareholders was a felony. Incinerating the miners was a misdemeanor.
Oh, geez, okay.
But upon his conviction, they sent Don Blanken, and you know, he was convicted here, out east, and they sentenced him to a club fed in California. In fact, I think we talked about it, Billable. You remember all those years ago?
Oh, was that Lompoc?
I think it was Lompoc.
I was going to say Lompoc. Ventura, I think.
Oxnard, yeah.
Because, yeah, it was. Because anytime I see Lompoc,
I think of the opening titles to The Bank Dick with W.C. Fields. Lompoc.
That is a funny name for a town.
that and Rancho Cucamonga.
Right.
Judge Carl J. Nichols was appointed to the district court in June of 2019. He also served as a clerk to Judge Lawrence H. Siberman of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia and to Justice Clarence Thomas.
Mm. Hey.
Well, Rick.
Well, maybe that means if it goes up on appeal, Roger and Billable, that Clarence will look kindly upon him and upon his sentence.
Recuse himself because he knows the trial judge.
Oh, you kidding?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, right.
No. I know.
It's slappy, Roger. Recusal, what's that? Could have looked that up. I don't know what that means.
Rick?
Yeah.
I just wanted to concur what Robin said about that miniseries Gaslit.
Oh.
But I wanted to recommend one to the entire Horn family that I watched yesterday.
Before you do that, let me ask you, where can I watch Gaslit? What service?
Is it Stars, Robin?
I think it is, yeah, Stars.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure if I have a subscription, but I have to think about that, sure.
Are you on Amazon Prime?
I've got Amazon Prime, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The video service, you can get it through Amazon Prime.
Okay.
And it would, you know, keep it long enough to watch the episodes and then cancel it.
Okay.
But the thing that I was going to recommend to everybody is something on HBO Max that I'd heard about some time ago and have been looking forward to seeing. And it's called... It's about Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward, and it's a...
Oh, I heard about this yesterday. I really want to see it.
It's called The Last Movie Stars, and I've always liked both of them, just for the human beings that they are, but also their skills as actors and communicators. It's called The Last Movie Stars, and it goes on forever, but I highly, highly recommend it. And the one of the last movies that they did together, it may have been the last one, was filmed. I saw a scene of it filmed in Kansas City back in the late 80s when I lived there, Mr. and Mrs. Bridge. And it's the scene where it's raining and he's driven his secretary home and he runs around the front of the car and opens the door and, you know, escorts her up to the front door. And they must have done that scene 15 times. And they had Hollywood Rain, which were basically fire hoses off to the side, shooting up in the air and then dropping the rain down. It was pretty fascinating to watch it. Mr. and Mrs. Bridge. I don't think it's streaming anywhere, but you can get the DVD, and it's a lovely film. And somebody I used to work with.
How old is that?
Oh, I think it came out in like 1990, 1991.
Oh, okay.
But he's in it. Joanne Woodward is in it. And some other actors from Kansas City, whose names I don't remember. But a lady I worked with at a station, a radio station in Kansas City, was also an actor, and she's in it. She plays the Hispanic girl who is the tentative love interest of the male son of Joanne and Mr. and Mrs. Bridge. And that's my movie tip for today.
Yeah, you've got all kinds of movie tips. I never have time to watch TV or movies. I play pool three nights a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights.
Well, it's a wonder you get any legal work done between your golf...
Well, and you know, pool. Speaking of billiards, I mean, there's always the hustler. Paul Newman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did you see the sequel to that with Tom Cruise?
Yeah, The Color of Money. I remember.
Was that any good?
Yeah, it was not terrible.
Because I have never been one too big into sequels. And I love the Hustler because it's such a stellar movie. I mean, with Jackie Gleason and some of those character actors in it. And, of course, Paul Newman and... Isn't Piper Laurie in that? Or am I thinking of somebody else? Yeah, she's the love interest.
Yeah, Piper Laurie's the ingenue.
Oh, but I mean, just an exquisitely done movie from start to finish. But I never got around to watching Color of Money, and I may do a back-to-back viewing.
What was that, Steve?
That sounds like somebody's doing their dishes or something. Oh. But it went away.
Is that my air conditioning in the background, maybe?
I digress. No, ma'am. That's your air conditioning. But since we're on movies, The Road to Wellville is an excellent movie about the Battle Creek Sanatorium.
John Harvey Kellogg.
Kellogg. Oh, my gosh. It's got Anthony Hopkins, Matthew Broderick, Bridget Fonda, John Cusack, Dana Carvey. Excellent, excellent watch. If you haven't seen it.
Funny-ish.
Oh, my God. It's wet your pants funny, you know. Robin, have you seen it?
I have not, but now I have to. I'm going to start keeping a little, I don't know, back of an envelope back here and just jot down movie titles.
I believe that's on Prime. I don't even think it'll cost you anything if you have Prime.
Oh, yeah. It is laughable.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that Kellogg guy, he was just a nut.
It's and crazy. It's based on a real
It's a true story, person. Yeah, yeah.
He's the erstwhile brother of the Kellogg, Will Kellogg, who gave us the Kellogg's of Battle Creek, the cornflakes and stuff. And his brother is a really oddball physician who's got a health farm, a sanitarium for rich people with the troubles that they don't even have, but he treats them anyway with emphasis on can I say enemas on the program? Yes, he's a real big thinker in terms of the benefits of having a colon that you could eat off.
I don't want to give anything away, but Bridget Fonda was sexually frustrated and she got treated. And very interesting. Yeah, definitely worth checking out.
And any movie that's got a soundtrack that features kazoos, you've got to love. That just adds to the merriment.
How about accordions?
I don't know if there are any accordions, but there are certainly kazoos.
I like accordions. Those are cool.
Well, watch PBS. I'm sure you've got a PBS station that runs Lawrence Welk on Saturday. All the fucking accordions you can deal with.
Yeah, right. More than you can shake a stick at or whatever.
And now Myron Florin, his magic accordion, his squeeze a box.
Didn't Danny Elfman do the soundtrack to that? Scott, Road to Wellville.
He may have.
He did everything cool, man. I mean, he did The Simpsons, of course, and he also did War of the Roses, and you know, a lot of your really just epic movies. He did the soundtrack to.
Yeah, I only know this in retrospect. War of the Roses is not a great date movie if things are on the skids to begin with.
No, if you're trying to.
No, that's not no.
And Danny DeVito with his lucky strike in the glass case. God damn. What a movie.
You never knew she was a gymnast, did you, Scott?
I never knew, but I found out. Jeez.
The scissor.
You know, speaking of cute older movies, this was like the mid-90s. One called Doc Hollywood. It's a favorite of Annette and mine.
Yeah.
That's a delight.
Michael J. Fox,
yeah. Bridget Fonda, Woody Harrelson.
And how could you go wrong with a cast like that?
David Ogden Stiers, you know, from MASH. Mm-hmm. And it's just a charming little
delight. There's so many gems out there, you know, that are worth rewatching, especially now since we had the COVID law and they didn't make crap for 2 or 3 years. Yeah, there's enough out there to keep you entertained.
So is it just like a steamy, miserable, swampy hellscape down there right now, Steve?
Yeah, it's pretty miserable, Robin. Pretty miserable. In fact, I'm trying to look out the glass right now, and it's it's just covered in dew. So yeah.
Got a 80s.
I mean, it's pretty brutal here. I mean, the air conditioner is blowing hell bent for leather, and 82, at almost 83 degrees in here, with the air conditioner going.
And if you don't pour bleach down the air conditioner drain, it'll clog up. And if you have a newer unit, it'll just shut it down.
Oh, great.
Yeah, another expense, you know. But, you know, we got in front of this, you know, so I don't have to call the guy anymore. It's just a cartridge you get from the local heat and air establishment, and you just, it'll clean it right out.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's 81 outside. Yeah. It's 83 inside here.
That's cool, Robin.
It's
what we're here today.
It's 88. So your new air conditioning unit, Robin, is that a window unit or?
It's a floor model.
Do you like it?
It's doing its job. It's working.
Now, where are you pumping the air out to?
It came with a little kit with the flexible dryer hose, and you set it up in the window, and it just goes right out the window.
It goes outside?
Good. Yeah.
Good. Because I've seen people try to vent them in a drop ceiling. It doesn't work.
No.
Does it have a filter of any sort?
Not really. I mean, it does, but it's not like the filter on an air conditioner.
Hmm. Well, make sure that's clean, because sometimes it's the simplest little things that will keep the thing from working effectively.
I know they're ugly and they're cumbersome. And they're an eyesore, but it's hard to beat a window unit for efficiency.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we would have a window unit, but when I replaced the washer and dryer that we had that were dead, that got killed by the derecho in 2010 years ago, in the 2012,
yep.
went with a typical side-by-side affair, and it's just so the dryer interferes with the, because it's got the little, you know, the control surface that sticks up. And it prevents me from being able to put a window unit in.
I understand. And if it's an older house, sometimes these older houses had odd-shaped windows to begin with. So,
How much in the way of electronics have you got running in the studio?
Let's see. One tower, the mixer, a pair of powered speakers, the monitor, the iPad. That's about it.
That's adding about 5 degrees, I would say, Robin.
Oh, I'd say you're absolutely right, yeah.
At least.
One of the problems with those floor unit dryer hose numbers like you're talking about, Robin, is if you are in a really small area, the unit is sucking air in from the room to heat up and then exhaust to the outside. And if you've got a really small space, the amount of air they're sucking in to then cool but throw a lot of it out the window sucks in enough warm air that the model can't really cool down the room because it's sucking in damn near as much air as it's cooling to keep your room cool. And the boy down in Cottage Grove in his little shack that he lives in was so small that the floor unit couldn't keep it cold in his little shed and went to a window unit that uses outside air to get rid of the heat that the refrigeration unit is using to cool things off and recirculating only air inside the room. And it works really good out in my little man cave out mother-in-law unit out back, because it's a much larger room and it doesn't suck in enough air from the outside. I mean, it sucks in the same amount as it would if it was in a little smaller room, but the room's bigger. And I'm not quite sure what the mechanics of that whole thing are, but I know that the floor unit will not cool a small room as easily as it cools a larger room.
What does it do about getting the water piped out the window or whatever? Or does it collect it in a thing that you got to dump every so often?
It collects and you got to dump.
Oh.
Oh, Steve, I wanted to go back to something you said earlier when you said Malcolm Nance said that the text messages would show up. I think your term you used was some geek will find them. According to CNN, and Jeremy sent this along. Thank you, Jeremy. I hope you're enjoying your cheeseburger. Tell us it was a good cheeseburger. Lie to us if necessary.
I was in the kitchen, Robin. Sorry, but
that's okay.
Back in here.
Yep. CNN reports Secret Service investigators were scrutinizing the phones of 10 Secret Service personnel that contained metadata showing text messages were sent and received around January 6th, but were not retained.
So, you know, if anybody knew how to shred something before it got to the cloud, it would be the Secret Service, and that was always a concern of mine. So is that kind of what you're alluding to?
Apparently, so, but they found the metadata that shows that it did exist.
Well, get those Secret Service agents on the stand and ask them about what the specific messages they sent and received were that day. You know?
Yeah.
I'm
not going to lie.
It's not there anymore.
Jeremy, go ahead.
I'm not going to lie. It's just a shitty McDonald's cheeseburger. On the run. It's 88. And it's like cooking before I went out to work.
There's nothing wrong with a McDonald's cheeseburger, man.
There isn't, but it's not as good as I could have gotten. That's for sure.
Especially a Big Mac. I mean, hard to beat.
It's funny you mention that, though, because I was at the drive-thru, and of course, obviously, you all heard it. And usually in my truck, and I guess it didn't work, if I mute by the console, it cancels out the headphones. Evidently not. Because I'm listening, and suddenly it goes to headset mode and doesn't do that. And you guys were all gone. I'm like, well, that was fucking weird. But, oh, sorry, Steve.
That's okay. Don't worry. It's.
After all,
all good, friend.
During the show, so it's pretty funny, though.
I muted you because I didn't think you wanted us to hear your fast food order, but, you know.
To go back to the Secret Service thing for just a second. And by the way,
Sure. There's
about 15 minutes left in the program. We got $820 to go, and that's gonna make for a hard time, and may mean that there won't be no program on Monday. I'm not kidding. I just bills. So. You know, if we could even just knock down the last 220 of Wednesday, I could at least maybe pay the one brutal bill. Anyway, but a little further down in the article, this just makes the actions of the Secret Service all the more egregious. And you wonder if an order came down from somewhere. Because the article speaks to a data migration of phones that started January 27th, 2021. So the insurrection had already happened. People were already known to be dead. The radio traffic existed. We know that from the January 6th hearings. And we are expected to believe that the Secret Service just said, no, everything's cool, man. We don't need those messages from January 6th. I mean, This is literally some contemptible conduct.
It does not pass the smell test. One iota. And if it's not in the cloud somewhere, then there's a lot of intent to destroy that. And somebody needs to be held accountable.
The guy who's the head of the Secret Service who leaves at the end of July, his name is James Murray, according to Lawrence O'Donnell. And he needs to be one of the main people that they bring up and swear in and send him down and start peppering with questions until he tells the truth.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you ignore a preservation order, I guess
several orders.
Congress, I wonder if that is a violation of law or if it's just something like a civil sanction that you could be held liable for, like damages, that kind of thing. Because I know, you know, with regard to civil lawsuits, you know, if somebody sends you a preservation request and you fail to honor it, then that could be held against you for civil purposes. There might be a presumption that
But billable criminally, how is that not obstructing justice?
It does certainly seem to be obstruction of justice, yeah. There is an investigation. You know about an investigation, yet you ignore it. Yeah, I guess that is. You don't need a court order there.
There's something like three or four different House panels who wanted...
Hey, y'all, I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Talk amongst yourselves.
All right. Who wanted the records and things from January 6th. So it can't be chalked up as an accidental or oversight situation.
No.
They knew from jump that multiple panels, House panels, requested these bits of information.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, someone's head have to roll, you know, as far as I'm concerned. That's just so egregious.
Not only that, but I would be even more, the heads can roll half as much if we get all of the answers. And I don't know beans about technology, but that data, it's hard to totally obliterate anything regarding bits and bytes. It exists somewhere.
Yeah. You'd think somebody could could figure it out, you know?
Seems to me the NSA should be the place to go to find it, the National Security Administration, because NSA, anything you put out, they have archives somewhere.
And also, they don't give professional consideration to other agencies or entities, because that's not their job. Their job is to be vigilant and to know about what traffic is going on out there. And I don't mean cars on the road. I mean any form of communication.
I hear you, Scott, but in the risk of sounding repetitive, if anybody knew how to completely shred a data text, it seemed like it would be the Secret Service would be at the top of that list. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I'm not saying that it exists. I'm just saying that it's awfully hard to totally eliminate all traces of those sorts of bits and bytes and electronic imagery and all that stuff.
It never really goes
away, is what I'm saying.
No, some geek somewhere should be able to retrieve that some way, somehow. But I wanted to ask Rick about the Merrick Garland statement yesterday. Did you hear that?
Oh, about
that's the standard. Nobody's
above the law. Should we read too much into that? Because I remember you saying time and time again that we do not like, you know, we don't want to look like a banana republic where we hold presidents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you understand what I'm saying? I would like you to elaborate on that if you don't mind.
Well, I mean, it's just the standard, you know, it's the standard mantra, you know, of the DOJ that, you know, everybody is subject, you know, we're a nation of laws, not men. You know, nobody is above the law, no matter what their station in life, no matter what
you've been off. Right. You've been correct up until this point. Do you think they're going to go after the orange monster? What is your gut telling you now, knowing everything that you know and after the...
I'm feeling a bit more hopeful after these hearings that he may be held to account after all. A certain amount of momentum has definitely been built, I think, especially with that the Cassidy, I forget her last name, her testimony. And then Cipollone was like kind of shamed.
Hutchinson.
As a result. Yeah, Hutchinson.
Hello, Robin.
So Cipollone was shamed into testifying after, you know, Dick in a wig, suggested that he should testify like, you know, Bill Barr had and all the other attorneys had.
Dick in a wig. Who would have thought this?
And, it's possible that Garland may have no choice but to indict Trump
at some point in time. I'm hoping that's the case.
So optics notwithstanding, you're of the opinion now that it could happen.
Well, you know, the optics have gotten even more, have gotten terrible for him. I mean, he's losing support now anyway, among Republicans, at least that's what Newsweek is reporting and some polls are reporting. And, you know, we'll just have to see. But, it might get to a point where Garland's going to have no choice but to indict. And I think a higher number of the American people, a greater percentage, believe that he should be prosecuted. You know,
that's why he's in such a hurry to jump back in the race.
Well,
one would think, you know.
Yeah, that would be that would seem to be the move. But then, you know, he's got to do, you know, campaign finance stuff. Then if he does that, he won't have as much.
One of his arguments is going to be a president that's in the race shouldn't be subject to prosecution. You know, I can hear him now. And yes, I think that's why he's in such a mad scurry to get back in.
That only applies to new cases. If there's already one open, he's fucked. No matter what he says, he's not going to stop it.
Good.
That's what basically Gardner was saying the other night. Nothing's going to stop what's already going. Only new stuff he has to confirm.
Okay. There was this guy once upon a time by the name of Lyndon LaRouche ran for president from jail. He was already convicted for whatever crime, and he ran several times from jail, as I recall.
Yeah, I think he was busted on tax charges, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's been a while, but you know, go ahead, Donald. I mean, take your medicine and run your campaign from your padded cell if you want.
Yeah. When I worked at the federal building, they were in downtown LA. They were like Lyndon LaRouche protesters, supporters, or whatever.
Oh, when we were working on the Eighth Act in D.C., every day somewhere on Capitol Hill there'd be some schmuck hustling Lyndon LaRouche stuff. And, you know, if you listen to him for like 30 seconds, you're like, well, okay, maybe. And then at second 31, you were like, nope, you're nuts.
And I forget what his shtick was. I mean, he didn't run as a Democrat or a Republican. He was an independent.
Mm-hmm.
But he had some pet interests that I forget now what. I'll have to do some research. But it was his thing, and he apparently got enough true believers to kick in contributions and, you know, do petitions for him to get him on ballots and all. Well, I mean, never underestimate the gullibility and the ignorance of the American public. I mean, come on.
Sucker born every minute, as P.T. Barnum, I think, attributed as having said.
Yeah, I think that was apocryphal, but it doesn't make it any less true.
But
to go back to what Rick was saying, I heard on NPR someone was saying that they heard from this guy that was like a mentor or someone important to Merrick Garland in his formative years. And he said, the NPR guy said that person said that Garland would have no choice but to act, that he knows him and he thinks that it's pretty likely that he would do that. So I don't know.
Well, that's a good point, friend, but didn't James Traficant get reelected from a jail cell? I mean, it's not unheard of.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah, somehow the people liked it. But going back to the point, was that Jack who made that last comment, or
Emilio, or
yeah, that was Emilio.
Oh yeah, hey, yep. I don't think I've talked to you before. No.
Helen, hey, thanks, Emilio, for jumping in. I appreciate that. We all do.
Sure. I'll tell you what. I'm going to throw in 25 here, okay, Robin?
That'd be great. That'd be great, Billable. That will get us down under the $800 mark.
Okay, I'll do a challenge. I'll double it to 60 if somebody can meet the 30, but you get 30 regardless, okay?
Okay, so let's give it a name.
Good golf and bad golf day, we'll call it.
Good birdie, bad bogey challenge.
Right, there you go.
If there's 30 bucks laying around out there, anybody, please. If we could not, 30 bucks will become, you'll you'll take your $1 becomes three, not two, thanks to Billable Rick, and that would get us down to $726 to go.
How about we name it?
Actually, the challenge, Robin, is called bouncing the golf ball off the cart path and onto the green for a birdie. That's
off the okay. Off the cart path onto the green for a birdie challenge.
There you go.
A $30 match to Billable's the first 30 turns into a total of 90 and gets us down to 726.
We can do it, guys. We can do it.
And we've got 3 minutes to do it. I had a note, and again, thank you, Emilio. I had a note from Scary Jerry. Your impressions, dear Robin. Your Henry the K, Donald Trump, Southern Evangelist, Ronald Reagan, Nixon, and Russian impressions are genius. I don't know if I've ever stated this, but in my experience, voices people always turn out to be trans. Also, for all the voices in your head, I'm glad you finally settled on Robin. Good luck next week, and hey, family, happy Friday, Shabbat Shalom. And all of the same right back to you, Scary Jerry. Thank you. You're always so kind, and I appreciate it. It means a lot to me. And my voice will continue to change. I'm still working on it. I'm hoping it takes time. It really does, and it takes a lot of hard work and study. And, well, just bear with me, please. And that having been said, we got to wrap things up here. The back porch conversation will continue after this program is no longer live. I will finish up with the uploads from last night's screw up, and then get this one uploaded. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. I'm gonna trust that somebody's gonna meet that $30, and we'll say that. Well, I guess come Monday we will be at 10:26. But hopefully, if this gets met, there will be a Monday program. We will have beaten the lupine pest back from the porch for another period of time. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand-new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And now proudly a union shop. Thank you. Thank you to our dear friend Christopher jumping in via Venmo. Triple bogey, says Christopher. Yeah. Okay, so there's $20 to go on Billable's challenge. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you so much. Please get your booster. Do all the things you have to do. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear your masks in crowds. You don't want this. Nobody ever did. Nobody ever does. There's no such thing as a light case of the Rona. It's all the Rona. And for God's sakes, if some skinny-assed Republican from Missouri says, "I'll never run from you," well, all you have to do is hear yakety sacks in your head, and you realize, well, that must be Josh Hawley, and avoid him like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.